From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news. Leaders of the Alaska House majority have introduced a bill that would set permanent fund dividends at roughly $900. That's a little more than half of what dividends have been the last 2 years, and significantly less than the roughly $3,000 the governor wants under the formula set in state law. House Bill 306 would change the formula for paying PFDs. Dividends would be one-fifth of the state's annual draw from permanent fund earnings. The rest of the draw would pay for government services. Anchorage Republican Representative Chuck Kopp is the chair of the House Rules Committee, which introduced the bill.
This bill introduces stability. It shows a clear picture of what we need to do going forward and gives a sustainable dividend for future Alaskans.
Kopp says the bill would close roughly 90% of the $1.5 billion gap between what the state spends and what it raises in oil royalties, taxes, and fees. Kopp says the House majority supports the philosophy behind the bill, but the details will have to be worked out in the House Finance Committee. Defenders of the dividend note that it's a significant share of lower-income Alaskans' income. Kopp says the proposed formula would provide stability to both the state's economy and to dividends.
We are the only state that gives away money to every man, woman, and child. I don't think it was ever meant to be a public assistance program. Certainly, we have many Alaskans who are dependent on it, and I'm very sensitive to that.
Wasilla Republican Representative Kathy Tilton is the leading minority caucus Republican on the House Finance Committee. She expressed skepticism toward the concept.
My initial reaction is that this bill weighs heavily towards government spending and not so much toward the people. So it is not a bill that I can support at this particular time. I do look forward to conversation and that maybe we'll be able to come closer together.
Tilton wants the bill to require a vote by the public on the formula change, and she wants a constitutional amendment to limit state spending. The Finance Committee is scheduled to discuss the bill next week. The campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy looks different in different parts of Alaska. In smaller communities, one person is doing all of the signature gathering. But the campaign in the state's three largest cities kicked off last weekend with teams of volunteers gathering signatures. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
This is the second time the organizers of the campaign to recall Governor Dunleavy have had to gather signatures. The first time was in August for the recall application. August was just a month after Dunleavy vetoed hundreds of millions of dollars from the state budget, and the kickoff events drew big crowds. The organizers struggled to keep up with the demand to sign. Now the campaign is at it again, this time gathering signatures for a petition to actually hold the recall election. And this time it's after the governor proposed a budget without large cuts. Mita DeWitt is the chair for Recall Dunleavy.
I think people see the budget that he put out right now as like two-year-old frostbite salmon. So people realize that he's just trying to back off a little bit and hoping that people will forget what his actual agenda is. And people here in Alaska have long memories. They remember what his agenda is. We have audio and written accounts of his words. Everybody remembers, and they want to protect their state.
DeWitt was in Juneau on Saturday, delivering a second batch of recall petition booklets from Anchorage. She's confident that the campaign will get the more than 71,000 signatures it needs to hold a recall election. Volunteers started staffing tables at Juneau's recall event Saturday morning at 8 a.m. In the first 4 hours, roughly 200 people came through. In more than 20 interviews with recall supporters on Saturday, only a few volunteered the listed grounds for recall as reasons for supporting the campaign. Most cited budget cuts, particularly to the Alaska Marine Highway System. Sue Ann Randall is an artist who brought her own pen to sign the petition.
I have been saving this pen for something, and I brought this pen to sign because I plan on framing it, because I feel like this is a historic moment in our state where Alaskans are standing up and banding together for the things that they value. That's why I brought my own pen.
As the petition campaign moves ahead, Alaskans opposed to the recall also are organizing. Cynthia Henry chairs Keep Dunleavy, a new group fighting the recall.
we can see that the recall folks are mounting quite a campaign, and it needed to be countered.
Henry is an Alaska member of the Republican National Committee. She says the listed grounds for recall are flimsy.
It's pretty clear that it's politically motivated, and that's not a good way to run government.
Keep Dunleavy has started taking donations on its website.
There have been a lot of people who support the governor's position here and oppose the recall who have wanted to weigh in, and so we're giving them a good opportunity.
The petition must be submitted before April 20th to ensure there is a special election before the state primary. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Champion musher Jeff King rushed to the hospital late Monday night, undergoing an emergency surgery that likely saved his life. With months of recovery ahead, the four-time Iditarod winner will not be competing in this year's race. But as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, he's still hoping his team will be out on the trail.
The pain started Monday morning. King had terrible stomach cramps that came and went as he was getting ready to drive south to Anchorage.
I decided it was something I had eaten. It turned into a passable pain in my stomach.
King lives in a sparsely populated part of the Denali Borough, not far from the National Park entrance. He was heading the 200-some-odd miles to Anchorage in advance of the Iditarod and to take part in an event sponsored by Alaska Public Media.
Going into Anchorage, I felt almost normal again and thought, surely it had passed.
King made it through the 90-minute stage event with no major issues.
During the program, I was uncomfortable, but not debilitated.
Later that night, though, things got bad. King was staying in town with two close friends who were both medical professionals, and after informally examining him on the couch, they told him he needed to head to the hospital.
We went to the ER, only to be met by autograph seekers who recognized me.
And doctors quickly started examining him, and at first it seemed pretty straightforward. The doctor diagnosed him with a hernia. It was painful, but they moved it back into place, and King says the pain felt a lot better. Still, the doctor went ahead and ordered a CAT scan.
Clearly, she didn't expect it to show anything, nor did I. I still thought, wow, maybe I just wear a belt that holds this spot, and I'm back on the trail because I felt pretty good.
But that is not what came back on the CAT scan.
We're able to determine that I had a perforated lower intestine.
That's a hole in the wall of the gastrointestinal tract, which can be really, really bad.
Shortly, a surgeon walked in and said, I'm one of the three people that just looked at your CAT scan, and your problem is very serious, that your mortality rate is going down 10% with every 8 hours, and we need you to get into surgery tonight.
And that's what they did. Doctors removed 10 inches from King's lower intestine through a long incision down his chest. He'll be out of the hospital in about a week, but recovery will take months. That time frame doesn't align with the racing event King's Kennel builds its calendar around, the 1,000-mile Iditarod, which starts in Anchorage this weekend. With his drop bags already shipped out, gear ready, and dogs selected to compete, King is hoping his team might still be tenable without him. He's asked the Iditarod Trail Committee if one of his handlers, a rookie who this season finished his qualifying races, can run the team instead. There's no precedent for this kind of last-minute switch, according to ITC spokesman Chaz St. George. For his part, King thinks it was lucky he was in Anchorage when all this happened. Near his home, there's a bare-bones clinic, but not much else. The medical facility in Fairbanks is a few hours away.
So I'm not sure I would have gone to any doctor until later, and I'm really glad I didn't wait.
Through his Kennel social media page, King asked in lieu of flowers or cards sent to his hospital room that anyone interested instead consider donating to a nonprofit. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And a correction. A story aired Friday implied that customers could cancel or change any Alaska Airlines reservation up until March 12th without paying a penalty. The policy only applied to reservations made between February 27th and March 12th. Alaska Airlines has since extended the policy to March 31st. Taking a look at weather, it's currently 35 degrees and overcast at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, snow showers likely before midnight. New snow accumulation of around an inch possible. And that's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Madeline Baxter.